This is a weekend that we celebrate or remember, as Bill pointed out, those who have died, given their lives in service of our country, Memorial Day. And it was originally designed to be observed on May 30th, regardless of what day of the week it fell. It has been converted to a three-day weekend. My opinion, it has kind of diminished the meaning of it by doing that from what its original intention. But it's a day that is designed for us to honor our heroes and remember them as a people here, as a nation. And I believe this is a wonderful idea, something that we do need to do as Christians and as Americans. Wayne Van Doren lives in Sandusky, Ohio, Sandusky County, Ohio, and he and his sons and grandsons have a tradition every year, going back to 1946, that they place flags on every grave of the three cemeteries in that community. Normally today, that is over 1,200 flags. And at each grave, they make a small stop to recite the name of that person and thank them personally for their service. Some are generals, some are privates, some are even unknown. But every grave is given the same treatment to honor them in that way. The reason that we should and do honor veterans who have given their lives, and not only veterans who have given their lives, but those who serve our country still living at the present time, is because of their service on our freedom. That it is because largely of their sacrifices and their service that we today have the freedom that we have. If you have been following the news, things happening in Iraq, you see what is happening in a nation there today where there are not sufficient troops to defend those cities against the Islamic State. And those warriors coming into those villages are beheading and committing atrocities upon the civilians and the citizens of those cities. Cities where many of our own servicemen served and some gave their lives less than 10 years ago. The Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And a nation that honors God is blessed by God. The Bible teaches this principle that if we honor God, God will in many ways bless our nation. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7 said that the memory of the righteous is blessed. And in Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, "Render therefore to all their due, honor to whom honor." In the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter and verse 4, the Bible talks about the fact that Abel, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. And one of the points there, I believe, is to show that it's possible that a person who has died can still be speaking, and that we need to listen to what they have to say and honor that person's life. Today it's often questions, do younger people today appreciate freedom? Those that have lived, say, after 1970, 1980s. In more recent years, do younger generation, do they really appreciate the price of freedom that has been paid? Now, back in 1944, Bill alluded, on June the 5th, 1944, the day before D-Day, our troops entered Rome, Italy, to great welcoming of the Italian people, that the Germans were being driven out of Rome. And our troops were heroes coming into the Allied troops, coming into the city of Rome on that day. And President Roosevelt went on the radio and announced to the American people a great victory and a great achievement that our troops had been able to take the city of Rome back. And the following day, June 6, 1944, was the day of the Normandy invasion. And 125,000 Allied troops reached the shores of France safely or successfully. But 2,500 of our men died, and 8,500 were wounded, especially those in the early wave that tried to take the beaches of Normandy. Many of them died and gave their lives. The younger people today really appreciate who are our heroes today. Is it only the comic book characters and superheroes? Have we really forgotten what it means to be a hero in the true sense? Are our young people today really learning what heroes are in the true sense? Well, I believe there is some reason for hope of the younger generation. Recently, last week in York, South Carolina, this young man, Peyton Robinson, 18 years old, decided to drive his truck to school with an American flag in the bed of the pickup truck. And as he arrived in school, apparently he had been having this for several days, but the school officials met him in the parking lot that morning and said that he was going to have to remove that flag, that there had been some complaints, and that they were going to have to require that that flag would be removed. Well, he called the police on his cell phone and asked them, is this true that we cannot have an American flag on the truck? And they said, no, there's nothing wrong with having a flag in your truck. And he went back and explained that to the school officials and said he could, you know, I can understand if it was some kind of a Confederate flag or something like that, but to simply have the American flag, why couldn't he have that? And they said, well, we're sorry, but you're going to have to remove it. And he went on to school that day, and he came out at the end of school, and school officials had unbolted it and taken his flag out of his pickup. So that night he went home and went on to social media and asked his friends to support him, not expecting very many to respond, but maybe a few. But he was overwhelmed the next morning when he was on his way to school to find that there was an entire cavalcade of people from the community turned out in support. There was over 70 vehicles with flags on them waving. People standing along the freeways in the back of their trucks, waving to people, waving the American flag. And as people arrived at school, there were people lined up on both sides of the street in support of it. And so school officials decided to back down. They said, they posted this notice, due to the outstanding display of patriotism through peaceful demonstration, it is apparent to us that many are not happy about this policy. And so they said it would be all right if he had an American flag as long as it didn't cause a disturbance. But here was a young man who decided to stand up and be counted. At the website, the Skit Guys, there's a very moving video. It's about 4 minutes long, where it talks about our heroes and shows a father deciding that he would like to teach his sons his son about what it means to be an American. And so he takes him into Washington, D.C. on his day off, and they visit a lot of the memorials. They go to the Washington Memorial, they go to the Vietnam Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, and so forth. And he's trying to explain many of this to his son, and his son is sort of a typical boy that he doesn't really seem too impressed by all of that. Then they go out to the National Cemetery, and they see all of the grave markers, and his son says, "Dad, who are all these people?" And he's never seen that before. And his father said, "Son, these are our heroes." And he sees a serviceman bowing down at one of these graves, and he says, "Dad, is that a hero there?" And he says, "Yes, that's one of our heroes also." And if you have an opportunity to see that, it's a very uplifting, moving video. It's only about 4 minutes long. The Bible, though, tells us that we have heroes also that have served God in the past. I believe that we're at a turning point in our nation today, where we need to have more patriotism. We need to be teaching our young people the meaning of freedom, what it means to be a patriot here in America, and to see some of the things that are happening to our nation today that are a reason for great cause for concern for all of us. Because many of the liberals in our nation today, such as the ACLU and one of our major political parties today, has a platform that includes abortion and homosexuality and same-sex marriage and the destruction of the God-given family and the effort to remove God from anything of a public nature. And this should be a concern for all of us, that a nation that removes God, what the impact of that is upon our society. And if something doesn't change, we fear, really, I think we can't help but be concerned about the future of our nation. But we need to not be afraid, because the power of God is not affected by those things, and the power of the gospel to save the lost is not changed or lessened by any of that. And God has given us a record in His Word of those who live by faith and what it means to live by faith, and that they are the heroes that we should remember when it comes to our spiritual lives. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is a great example of this, of those who have live by faith and serve God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we're told that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he more or less gives a definition there of faith to begin with. And he goes on to say in verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." But in this, he begins to give a long reminder or a survey out of the history of the Old Testament and reviewing the lives of many of those men and women who lived by faith under the Old Testament, and they were blessed by God in doing so. He talks about the faith of Abel. As I read earlier in Hebrews 11 in verse 4, that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and through it, even though he is dead, he being dead still speaks to us. That God blessed Abel because of the faith that he demonstrated to put God first and to offer a sacrifice of a blood sacrifice, the best of the flock that he was able to give unto God. And he had this testimony that he was pleasing to God. And it goes on to talk about Enoch in verse 5, that By faith Enoch was taken away that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Then it goes into talking about Noah in verse 7. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah certainly lived in an evil day, a day that God was not pleased with the people, and God revealed that a flood was coming, and that for Noah to build the ark, and Noah acted by faith and was obedient to God. He preached to the people of his day, even though they apparently did not listen to him, but he saved his own household, his three sons and their wives. And the eight souls in the flood were saved by the faith of Noah. So he's a hero of faith. Abraham is listed in some detail there. That beginning in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He was given a promise by God that a son, he would be given a son, his seed would be numerous and as the sand of the seashore. And eventually, many years went by, Abraham and Sarah in their old age did bear a son, Isaac. But as this young man, Isaac, was growing up, God came to Abraham and instructed him to take him and offer him as a burnt offering. And Abraham obeyed God. He trusted God that God must be planning to raise him from the dead. But he would obey God nevertheless. And we read of that in Genesis chapter 22. God stopped him from taking the life of his son, but he knew that his faith was true, that he was willing to go to the limit to obey God from his actions that he showed. Jacob was also commended as a hero of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And the Bible says that Jacob lived by faith. And that when he was dying, in verse 21, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. In other words, Jacob knew that the promises of God to the tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob, that God made great promises that he would bless them. And he went around through the room and he talked to each one of his sons and told them what God was going to do through them in the coming centuries. So he lived by faith. And it goes on to talk about Moses and Rahab and Jephthah and many others, that it says they all live by faith. In fact, he says in verse 32, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong and became valiant in battle and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And then in verse 38 he says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and dens and caves. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect. They should not be made perfect apart from us. What was the better that God had prepared for us? Well, it was the full knowledge of the gospel and the coming of Christ and his sacrifice for our sins and the new covenant that God had prepared for us. Something much better than any of these heroes of faith were able to live under. So in chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We see from this that we are therefore to look to Jesus today. We are also, we have a cloud of witnesses that have lived by faith. We can look to them as if they are sort of up in heaven looking down and maybe cheering us on in our faith today, that we should look to Jesus and run the race that is set before us, laying aside sin and every weight that would hinder us from being able to run this race successfully and faithfully to God in our day. We have a battle of good and evil that is happening. We have a day of remembering heroes, those that have served our country and the price of freedom and what they have given their lives. And I mentioned President Roosevelt, how he went on to the radio before the American people and he commended the troops, he commended the victories that they were having. And on June the 6th, he was on the radio again of the Normandy invasion, and he prayed this prayer. He led the nation in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, the pride of our nation this day, have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness to their faith. They will need your blessings. Their road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by your grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and day without rest until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame, and men's souls will be shaken with the violence of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end the conquest. He talked about the fact that some would not return home. And he said, for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in Thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Well, I appreciate a president who would pray that prayer, lead the nation in prayer for the men serving in that way. We need to understand that freedom is not free, that a tremendous price has been paid for the freedom that we have. And we do need to honor those of the past and those of the present that serve our nation. And we need to understand what true heroes are, who the true heroes are of our day, that we do not forget, that we never forget the price that has been paid for us, for our civil freedom, but even more so for our spiritual freedom, the price that was paid by Jesus Christ on our behalf. So we're told in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So our freedom was not free. And the freedom that we have as Americans was not free. We need to appreciate that. There are many living in this country today who have no sentimental attachment, who have no feeling of the price that was made, that we can enjoy this freedom, that many can come here from other places, and our children and our grandchildren can grow up in a country that is free. But we need to appreciate that and the great price that it caused. It does not come without a price. to be able to live in a free country. And we need to have more of the conviction of this young man in South Carolina to stand up for the freedoms that we have and not have them taken away from us by those that do not respect the freedoms that have been given to us. So I hope we'll think about those things this weekend, tomorrow, as we come together, as Dave and Linda invited us again to their home. We look forward to that, a get-together at the Neiman's tomorrow, to be able to enjoy that day together, Memorial Day, that we would be thinking same time about the price of freedom that has been paid for us. I would also like to close by calling your attention that we have a gentleman sitting right here, John, who is one of our heroes of our nation. And John, I'd just like to ask you a couple of questions. Could you tell us about what it was like in becoming enlisting with the troops when you did it? How old were you at the time?
I signed up at 16.
16 years old. Right.
But they had a rule that you could not go in under 17. Things were kind of bad. I thought we could maybe slip through there. Didn't work. But on the day of my 17th birthday, I took off.
Signed up on your 17th birthday. And where did you serve exactly, John?
I went to the South Pacific.
Starting
in the Marshalls.
What type of action did you see there? What type of heroism did you witness?
Oh, man. Yeah. Hundreds. But I think the thing that stuck with me the most probably is that we had to pick up a fellow off of the walk, and he had a big pole on his leg. And we got him on board our ship, and he was telling me, he got out his wallet and pulled out his family pictures. And he said, "I'm not going to make it here. I want you to go to my folks, to my family." And I told him, I said, "I will take your picture as you can." Well, we had a lot of. I think that I'm so busy I couldn't follow up to see. I felt in my heart that he could, even though he had laid out there in the sun. Terrible situation.
Right. And what was the island that you were telling me the other day that you went over into the Indonesia islands and you saw sort of the invasion there of one of those islands.
Which one?
The one you were telling us, that you met some of the people in the hospital that were from that area.
Oh, that was late.
That
was a battle of Lady Gulf.
Battle of Lady Gulf.
Yeah, okay. Lady Gulf. And at that point, when things were settled and we got the Japanese were going to come back out at night, so we had got an airfield clear, and so we had some new night fighters come in. They call them Black Widows, and so that was the beginning, I think, getting the Japanese back on us, so we had the airfield cleared up in operation, and then there was a little village there. And I could see it off of the ship, and it's beautiful. We didn't go on board. I did not go on shore there. But I did get to go next to it a little bit. And I was so impressed with that little village. And every time I'm in the hospital, there are so many people from the Philippines are in the service in the hospital there. And those... I finally found someone that had been to that little village at Thought Bowl. I want to add, too, if I may, Jerry back there visited me in my last visit to the hospital.
Yes.
And we discovered that he was in an island just next over to the seaplane tender.
That's amazing. Well, thank you, John. Thank you so much for the service. I wanted to point that out. I think most of you are aware of it. We have three World War II veterans here in our congregation. But we're going to stand and sing the invitation song at this time. And as we do so, we think about Jesus and his sacrifice for us. And what that makes the opportunity available to each one of you to come to Christ, to obey the gospel, to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ, that your sins may be washed away by his blood. We're going to stand and sing, and we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
242.
We read of places called heaven, it's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given.
Pray for those on our prayer list, especially Dan Kabuko. We want to keep him on our prayer list. is still going through chemotherapy, and pray for everyone on our prayer list. But we know that it does make a big difference. You know, Debbie and I live right at the Homa National Cemetery, so we're constantly reminded of our fallen heroes. And a lot of times they'll have anthrax flying over, or there'll be ceremonies going on. So I'm sure they'll have something going on out there Monday morning. I like to talk to John. He's told me a lot of stories. He gave me a book called, I think it's called Halsey's Typhoon. Is that what it's called? What's that?
You still have the
book. I still have the book.
You may be kind of old.
It's
all there.
Anyway, it's a story that most people didn't know, and I hadn't heard about. It was a big typhoon that our fleet was caught up in, and several of the smaller ships sank, and John was caught up in the battle. It's quite a story. And anyway, don't forget the Memorial Day picnic out of Dave and Linda's, and Dave's famous barbecue, and I probably have a sign on his house. And so we'll definitely look forward to that. And I have the creation DVD set, the series that we went through on Wednesday night. I have extra copies in the back, so if you want a copy to take home and show to family members, if you want to borrow a copy, that'd be good. I have about 4 or 5 sets right now. So, but if you want to have a copy to keep for your own, that can be arranged also. And are there any other announcements that you can make?
I have one.
Okay.
Daddy?
Sure. I can do that with
you. Now let's get wound up. You've got me wound up. I want to mention that about 3-4 weeks ago on Saturday morning, I was in very bad shape at the hospital. And they had called in the surgeons, the night surgeons, and they were there looking at me to figure out how can they operate. You know, I'm this old guy in bad shape. And the survival rate was very bad in those positions. So they wanted to do it. I told them, hold it. And I had my cell phone right there, and I called Paul and asked him for prayers. And the people that were reading the vital signs were really gloomy and all tore up. Without saying anything to me tonight, I could sure see that things weren't too well. Paul, after Paul hung up, I'm sure he called you for prayers. And an hour later, at St. Paul, I don't know exactly. About an hour later, the fellow watching all the signs and everything, he got all gleeful and went running out and grabbed the nurse that was in a private room and two of them there. One had stepped out and brought back in, and they started checking. And this demon all over has a change made just like that.
Yeah.
And turned the whole thing around. So my point is that prayer is very powerful, especially when you get everyone. Oh, that's wonderful. And I use that throughout my, whenever I have a talk to someone in the hospital. I have very good receptions on most, and no one threw anything at me. I'm here. Thank you.
Amazing job even when he's in the hospital in dire straits, he manages to preach the gospel. That's really a testament. And we keep saying that keep praying, and pray, prayer does make a difference. And we have proof all the time.
Yeah.
And okay, Beth, let's go ahead and close the word. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for being with us. We thank you so much for this country and for those that have gone before us, those heroes that have fought to uphold our rights, to protect this country. And above all, Lord, that you have blessed us, that you've blessed this country. And we fear, Lord, that as this country moves farther and farther away from you, that your protection will be removed. Lord, we pray that the hearts of the people of this country can be changed, that we could turn back to you, that the trends can be reversed. Lord, for we know that a government that does not consider you will fall. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us as we go through day by day, that you help us to teach others as we have opportunity, that you help us to always read your word and know your truths and to know what you have us to do. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us until we come here again. These things we pray through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the cordless mic worked today. Yeah, it works sometimes.
It works as long as you don't have to.
It seems to work better on when you're wearing your suit.
Put it down here, it jiggles that cord.
So where do you keep it?